flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And Maria Kina was doxing you.
She had had it.
Andrew appears to be flailing.
Andrew's doing something, not helping.
Friggin' Scott Bedell, man.
All I know is my response was, got him!
Nah, it was definitely not.
Bedell was showing you who's boss.
Definitely not our good friend Scott's fault. But
I talk when I want to talk, and I don't talk when I don't want to talk.
Definitely not our good friend Scott's fault. But yeah, she's like, he's doing something. He's not helping, whatever he's doing.
Turning knobs, I see. Turning knobs.
He's turning a knob, but he doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. You guys want some sportsy type stuff?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I got some other stuff, but we can do the sportsy. Because these are, they're not like, it's not like Cardinals trade rumors or anything like that. But I want to run at least one of these, if not both of these, by you guys. So you guys are at least loosely aware, if not acutely aware, that sometimes in like amateur sports, there are mismatches, right? Where one high school basketball team is way better than another high school basketball team, and you get weird scores. So in California this week, one team beat the other team, and I'm not going to name the players involved. They're in the news stories, but they're teenage kids. I don't blame the kids.
Yeah,
I blame coaches for allowing these types of things. But this high school basketball team in California beat their opponent 119-25.
Okay.
And one kid on the better team scored 102 of the 119 points.
Okay.
And then they celebrated after the game, right? Like he holds up a little sign, 102 points. And, you know, there are all these examples happen all the time where it's 95-3. And first of all, the game should never be scheduled if it's going to be that big of a mismatch, I think. But I'm curious where you guys are on this. Should they celebrate somebody scoring 100 points out of 119 in a game like that? Should we be saying to the coaches, maybe just don't play the game and don't schedule teams that are that far out of your league?
Here's what you do. You play your bench players.
Yes.
You don't play your starters.
That's right.
If anyone scores 102 points, it better be the fifth guy off the bench. Because you can't tell. I don't think you can run like a slow offense and just kind of stall.
There is a shot clock, so you have to shoot. Yeah, yeah.
But you can't just tell the kids go out there and play terribly. You don't play a single starter for a single minute.
Yeah.
You let those bench players get a chance to play. You're not playing pro. They may never get in another game again. Let them play a competitive game.
I'm glad he said it that way because you know how this goes. This story comes out and somebody writes it. And then other people are yelling, sports is competition, man. If you can't hang, then you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I know those guys.
And I'm like, you know, I do too. And I would agree with them if you're talking about professionals. If you're at the professional level or even at the major college
level. But let me stop you there. If you were at a professional level, let's say a professional football game, someone wins 45-7. And someone throws for 400 yards. If after the game, the quarterback held up a sign that said 400,
Yeah.
Right?
But also at some point, too, they're going to pull the starters because you don't want them to get
hurt.
They'll
do the right thing.
And if it's 45-7 with 4 minutes left in the game, you're not throwing passes anymore. You're not playing the same way. And if you are, it's because your second or third string guys are in there and they just are getting some practice, and that's all it is. But again, I'm not going to have too much sympathy when a professional athlete gets smoked. But this is the case where it's like a 4A team versus a 2A team. So they're not in the same classification. This would be like the Cardinals. It would be like a baseball team. Baseball's not even fair, but it would be like a baseball team facing their single-A affiliate.
I hope the coaches got shellacked for this.
Well, the problem is they generally don't, and the headlines are just celebrating it. So if you look at the news stories, like, oh, this kid scored 102 points, and like, okay, but there are so many questions to me come up as a coach and as somebody that played sports. Like, at the amateur level, there is a time where you stop trying. Where, as you point out, you've got 15 people on that team. 8 of them never play. Let them play. But to feed your star player so that he scores 102 of the 119 points, how are you not also being a terrible ass to your own kids?
I was a second, third guy off the bench in basketball, and 1 year in ninth grade, it was a snowstorm, and some of our starters couldn't make it, and we played a really bad team, so we were going to win, and I got to play the whole game. I will remember that game the rest of my life. I mean, I just didn't get to play that much. And so the difference between your dumbass coach butt getting to grind it in and some kid getting to play the one game of his life, just go outside and practice falling
down. So this is why I wanted to get to it, partly because there are multiple levels to this, right? There's another story that I saw in this same story, in the same column that was written about this, where it was a blowout like that, and the coach had his daughter score some record number of points to set some record.
Even worse.
Well, yeah, even worse, because you're doing this because it's your kid. But like, there's the first part, which is sportsmanship. Don't put an unnecessary beating on somebody that's just not at your level, right? I mean, like, it'd be like me showing up and playing pickup basketball with a bunch of fourth graders and be like, look how awesome I am. And just like knocking them around. I scored 100 points. Good for you. So what? Big deal. That you're not proving anything, and you're not making your team any better by even playing that game. You'd have a better productive day by practicing against your own players, by just splitting your team in two and having a scrimmage. You're going to get a better level of competition that way. And the coach's argument was, well, you know, we tried, but we couldn't get other teams at our level to schedule us. Well, then fine, don't play the game. You shouldn't be playing teams that's going to happen. But then also, how do you think it makes any sense to just let the one kid go? Like, you know, some of the arguments against me in this were, I didn't argue it, but people that were arguing on the side that I would not be on. Well, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 in a game. Yeah, against pros.
Yeah.
Against professional athletes in a competitive game. I mean, if you're pro and you can't stop the other guy, fine, you get beat. You're getting paid. But when you're like 15 years old, and the funny thing is they were playing a school that has something like, I don't know, like 40 kids at each grade level or 50 kids at each grade level. Like, they don't cut anybody from sports. Everybody gets to play. It's like, I don't understand what benefit there is for you. I wish the high school organizations would step in. I wish the governing bodies in high school would say, you cannot play two levels down, or you cannot play three levels down. Or if you do, it has to be somebody that was like championship caliber the year before or something like that. So there's that story, which as a person that's been around youth sports, and I've seen it a little, baseball's a little different because it's not as easy to run up a score like that. But I've been around it where times you're like, okay, guys, you know, I'm telling my guys, all right, listen, just take the pitch. We're up 20-1 in the third inning. We don't need to do this anymore. We just want this game to be over. We don't want to embarrass anybody anymore. Just swing and miss. You know, like, there are times that you've done that. And I've been on the other end of the beatings, too, where you're like, okay, guys, you're up 15 runs. You can probably stop stealing bases now. You don't need to keep running up the score. And it's like, well, my guys need work. No, they don't. They're not getting anything out of that. That's BS. You just like being able to push someone around.
You ever had anything really uncomfortable with another coach?
Yeah. Yeah, a few times. Not usually, but when it comes to things like that, where it's like, okay, dude, you're like, you're still going to steal bases. I've literally had that conversation. Like, you want to keep playing that game where you're going to run up the score when you're up 15 or whatever. I mean, it's pointless. It's useless. And I don't do it. I would rather my guys, again, I'll schedule a practice to work on it if we need to work on it. I don't need to work on it against a team that's already mentally quit the game because they're getting their asses beat. Or if it's a, sometimes it's just a mismatch. And I've been on both sides of that, where you're the really good team and you're just so much better than the other team. And I've been on the other side where you're just the bad team. Your team's getting smoked. And at some point, just call off the dogs, man. It's not really that difficult. Or put your backups in, right? Like, bring in everybody from the bench. Now, there's another thing I wanted to run by you guys, and I just wanted to ask you if you guys think this makes any sense. And I asked Ranji this earlier because, you know, obviously he's a sports guy as well. So the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be taking the job to be the new head coach in Jacksonville. He originally turned the job down because he didn't like the people that were running the front office in Jacksonville. And basically a day or two later, they fired that front office and called him back and said, hey, we fired these guys. You want to come back? And he's like, yes, I do. So that happened. And yesterday there was news all over Twitter that from the NFL insiders that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are trying to call this guy. His name's Liam Cohen, and he's not answering their calls, and they haven't been able to get in touch with him all day long. And Tampa Bay fans are just destroying this guy on Twitter. They're calling him all kinds of names. And I'm like, why would any fan care if a guy who's leaving called your team back? Like, I could get why your former boss might be like, dude, you know, do me the courtesy, call me back. I get why you'd be mad. But what does that have to do with any fan at all? He's leaving to take a promotion, and he didn't call your team back. Boo-hoo. Like, who cares? It's not a factor. It doesn't matter to you anymore. I didn't understand that, and I wondered if anything clicked with you guys where you're like, well, no, I can see their point.
I can see their point. I understand why they're saying it, but I don't understand. I even understand their motivation, which is we love to be essy about things. We love to be angry. We love someone to be a villain. And that's a pretty obvious one, but I totally agree with you. Like, this is, look, you are so far above your pay grade right now. Like, you're a fan. Be a fan. This the adults in the room are handling
right.
This.
You don't need to be offended on behalf of your team's owner.
No. No.
Right? Like, it's such a weird thing. And I know we sports fans are very tribal. You know, we don't like it when someone leaves us. You know, I'm a Lions fan. The offensive coordinator left to take the Bears head coaching job.
Didn't know that.
And there are Lions fans that are trashing the guy. Traitor, you should have left the division. I'm like, no, you take the job. It's your career, man. Like, you're getting a promotion. You take the best opportunity that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't understand why regular human beings who in their own life would not apply that standard to their brother, to their friend, to themselves, but when it's somebody in pro sports, you should never do that. You're a turncoat.
For real, not to just start a whole new conversation here, but why is the dopamine hit from anger so easy and tasty? It seems like it'd be just as easy to seek out something good, but you don't, and I don't. Like, when I'm going through TikTok, I'll see something good or funny, and I'm like, oh, hey. But if I see something that makes me angry, I linger.
Yeah.
I mean, is it the classic, like, tearing people down makes you feel good, right? Like, yeah, I'm better than that guy, or something like that. You know what I mean? But it's weird to say.
Like Maria Keene is on you right now?
Exactly. But it's weird to say that because, like, when I do that, I don't feel like I'm thinking, like, haha, better than this guy. You know what I mean? It's just, like, nice to
feels good to be mad.
Feels good to take people down.
Righteous indignation.
Do you think that is an evolutionary survival thing that's stuck with us?
And you know what else?
Anger and fear are very useful for survival.
Not just that, but it's especially salient when you're bonding. Like, if you and I are in a tribe, and I'm like, how about that frickin' Andrew? And you're like, oh, I hate that guy. Let's shove him off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, that I can see where that has an evolutionary, you know, appeal to it.
Yeah, I do think some of that is so, but we also we are sophisticated enough as a species we can control it.
Yes. Meh.
Yeah, no, we can.
No, we can.
You can if you
but isn't it fascinating that we don't?
Right. You can if you just make the conscious effort to recognize what's happening.
Yeah. And I'm the worst because I'm crappy. I'm just under the radar crappy. Right?
Yeah.
I'm as crappy as anybody else. It's just I'm going to be nice to your face. I'm just telling the truth.
So one of my people that I play with is Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I were kind of talking last night about how Australian I don't call him that, although I should. I think he would respond well.
Ask him if he knows any Sheilas.
And he was talking about how Australian culture is very, you know, you don't get tall cotton in Australia. It's very much like no one excels, and everybody, you know, is if you start to like, you know, get a little too big for your britches or excel a little too hard, they just cut you right down. and he says that he actually kind of likes that because they don't have any like, you know, crazy Elon Musk types or whatever in Australia, because as like from the time you're a kid, like your parents do it, your friends do it.
They sent Rupert Murdoch here.
Yeah, it's drilled in like, hey, if you think you're better than me, I'm gonna rip you apart.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Saw something kind of weirdly interesting today. Will Ferrell has a connection to the O.J. Simpson trial. So because the O.J. Simpson jury was sequestered for so long, he was with the Groundlings in L.A. at the time, and they brought him and a couple other people from the Groundlings in and had them do their performance in the courtroom with the jury sitting in their jury box and just watching them perform improv. How weird is that?
That is weird.
And he said it didn't go over well. Like, it's not like they were getting no laughs.
I can imagine that.
Also, congratulations to you, Andrew. Today's Fail Friday.
Hey!
It's what?
So you had Blue Monday, and then Fail Friday is the day when most people give up their New Year's resolutions.
Oh, okay.
So you're still doing great.
I thought you just meant like in general.
No.
Like, you know.
All day I fail.
And unable to, it's national unable to bring Scott Bedell up on the phone day.
Yes.
And Maria's going to announce that in the news.
Man, she left you hanging. I gotta say, I sort of love that.
I respect it.
Andrew was just turning knobs and giving her the look like, I don't know.
What's going on.
She's going, he's trying as hard as he can. He's trying his best. It's just not good enough.
You ever seen the fake sports play-by-play where the guy like is just ridiculous and he swears? Like, it's a real play, but it's a fake voiceover.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Really jacked that one up, didn't he? I forget who does that, but it's funny.
He's sweating. He's
the first
crying.
Time. The first
it's just
time,
not going to help him, though.
The first time that one of them went viral, my buddy sends me like, can you believe this guy did this? I'm like, I don't think he did.
335 DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Dave Murray's about to give us the details, but I think it's going to be a much nicer weekend this weekend. Am I right, Dave?
I'm going to give it to you just right.
Nice.
Weekend looks good. What? The pick day. The pick day is Saturday in the afternoon. Sunday's going to be a little bit cooler, but I think most people, we're talking upper 40s, maybe low 50s, I think it's going to feel great. Just going to feel great.
That's wearing shorts and hoodie to Schnucks weather for me.
That's okay. It works for me.
Yeah.
Works
Can we finally me. Get rid of the ice? Is that going to do it?
Yeah. Who knows with this? I mean, there are places that still you can't walk on. You can't drive on.
Andrew and I did it today.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
That we can't walk to like one of the nearest restaurants to us.
Downtown.
Downtown. Without it being like absolutely treacherous.
Yeah, and not to mention all that, I'm sure you've seen them, Dave, but the pictures all over social media of just piles of garbage everywhere because the trucks can't get down those streets either or down the alleys. Mm-hmm.
Dave, will we finally see like a permanent melting of the like 6-inch thick sheets of ice that we have over some of these?
No, that streets? Stuff's not going to go away for a while.
Great.
I mean, we need like a week of above freezing temperatures day and night to get rid of that.
Yeah,
that's just going to take a while. It's like a glacier. It just takes a while.
St. Louis, home of the glaciers.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, home of something, right, when it comes to snow removal.
That's wonderful. We have allowed ourselves to be encapsulated in a glacier. That's fantastic.
Right. And it's turning brown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the snow outside our building is for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Although some of the streets I've seen, they look like rinks.
And the thing is, like, Wheels, you made the best point earlier in the week when you said if you were the mayor, you would be out there in your personal vehicle spreading salt.
Yeah.
And I believe you would, out of just personal embarrassment and responsibility. I've not seen a salt truck. I've certainly not seen a plow. I've not seen anything in about 20 days now.
Well, since day one or two, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and the worst part is
you saw some of the southern stuff.
Yeah.
How they were throwing salt down. Just a couple of guys in the back of a pickup truck.
Throwing
salt. I mean,
see, look at
that. Better than what we got.
Yeah, they got no plan, but they're willing to adapt and just get to work.
Yeah, get to work.
I don't know.
Get your ass out there and get to work.
Yeah,
are the politicians taking heat?
From us they are.
Well, there's
that
one.
Yeah, I know that.
The mayor's taking most of it.
Yeah, because she gave herself a B- grade.
Oh, great.
And then the head of the streets department was like, I didn't even know the streets were icy. What do you mean you didn't know? It's just everybody talking about it on TV and radio all the time.
Dave, how are the fires doing out there?
They're still burning, but they're getting under control. The Santa Ana is busting down today for the most part, and that's good. The wind's going to turn to the south. We got this big old low pressure system, which, as we've been talking about the last couple of days, is that's got to happen in order for the Midwest to warm up. So it's good. West gets some rain. We get warmer temperatures.
Have they even discussed how the fire started yet?
No, there's a lot of talk of, you know, power line down, arson. Mm-hmm. Arson keeps coming up.
Oh.
And, I mean, these guys who do this, we got to do something to them. Just got to do something to them.
No kidding. No kidding. I mean, that should be lifetime in prison.
At least.
It just should. I mean, you've cost thousands of people, everything.
Yeah, and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Killed a couple dozen people. I mean.
Yeah, I think it's up to 27 now.
Wow.
And there's still like 20 missing.
Yeah. Yeah. Got headlines, Andrew?
I do have some headlines.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Doopy doopy doo.
Are we ready for some headlines?
We are ready for headlines.
When's Rachel coming back?
Monday.
All right.
I'm still doing headlines.
Yeah, but he's still doing headlines.
You're going to have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Headlines.
Top story here. Subway unleashes new $6.99 meal of the day deal, and oh my God, that's one of the fast food news headlines. Hang on.
You can do fast food.
All right, sure. Why not?
Yeah, do fast food.
Right, sure, why not?
I got my regular headlines, and then I left one of the fast food ones on top.
It's a DGS. That was a fine headline for me.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Subway, huh?
Subway, you know what? I would rather hear about fast food news than all the Trump stuff that I have to put in the real headlines. Subway is offering a different value meal each day with the launch of the new Meal of the Day deal at participating locations, starting at just $6.99. It's a 6-inch sub of the day, two cookies or a bag of chips, and a 20-ounce soda.
You know all that does? Makes me remember when a foot long was $5.99 or $5.
See, $5
foot it's the
long.
Subway conundrum. We've discussed this before. Anytime they're like, hey, we have a $7 6-inch day, it's like,
they're advertising their own failure.
Well, you jerks. They used to be all the foot longs were $5.
Well,
so
this
we're
is
not
a
impressed.
Meal, though, right?
This is a meal.
Like
but it's
two cookies and a drink plus the sandwich.
But it's a 6-inch sandwich. And that's just, I mean, that's never going to be enough to fill me up even with two cookies or whatever. So I don't know. That's just me. But they will do the $10 deal for a footlong. So that's cold cut. You got cold cut combo on Monday, sweet teriyaki on Tuesday. That's not important. Go look it up if you want to know.
I wonder if we're going through all seven.
I was going to go through all seven. I was like, that's boring. Don't do that. Pizza Hut introduces new original stuffed crust pizza and wings bundle for $20. That's pretty good. It features a large one-topping original stuffed crust pizza, 16 boneless wings, and any two dips like ranch, you know, marinara, whatever, at price of $19.99. That is a good deal. Now, I personally can't eat the Hut because there's something about the pizza that absolutely triggers my
reflux.
Reflux it's really horribly. Sauce.
Phoebe has the same thing.
It's the kind of sauce.
Phoebe can't have Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Okay. But, which is a shame, because if I'm being totally honest, out of all the chains, I think taste-wise, Pizza Hut is my favorite. I love Pizza Hut, but as I got older, And reflux became more of a thing in my life. It's just not something I can do anymore.
Isn't it funny how life changes? Like, I'm not out there buying $100 pizzas these days, but Pizza Hut used to be like tall cotton.
Dude, I was just going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you if Dave Murray had the same, because you and I have talked about it. Like, going to Pizza Hut was like...
That was a big deal.
Big deal. Yeah. We're going out for pizza. Was it like that too, Dave?
I like Shakey's when I was in school.
Shakey's,
graduate school out west. We
don't have Shakey's around here.
We
right?
did no, for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But they,
I think they're hard to find, too.
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay. I just know when you're a kid and you're like, man, this is great. They're going to, we got whole pizzas coming out.
Bring that out, put it on the table.
You always had the shaker of the red pepper. You
had your salad bar with your Thousand Island dressing.
Salad bar. Oh, yeah. Man, the
now
best.
You're talking.
Yeah, and then you convince your friends that the red peppers are chopped nuts for the salad, and they put it, yeah, they eat it. That's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Wasn't sure what kind of chopped. So anyway.
You know, like almonds and stuff.
The Pizza Hut in Alton had a salad bar right up until it vanished from society. Mm. Ooh-wee, now there's just a hut-shaped building that they got to figure out what to
do. It'll be a Mexican restaurant soon.
Well, the problem is there's a Mexican restaurant right next door to it. So
doesn't matter.
Then it'll be a Kingdom Hall for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah.
So this one I thought was interesting. Taco Bell introduces new Dirty Mountain Dew Baja Blast. Do you guys know what Dirty Soda is? Kevin did not.
I do not.
No, I do not.
Dirty Soda is a South trend, like kind of like Georgia, you know, Alabama kind of area of the South, where that's getting some more popularity nationwide, virally, if you will. It is soda with coffee creamer in it. So, like, imagine you take, like, a Coca-Cola.
It's really big on Dr. Pepper in the South.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, crack a Dr. Pepper.
So, it looks like an iced coffee, kind of?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. And they call that a dirty soda. And Baja Blast is getting in on this with putting some vanilla creamer into their tropical lime flavor Baja Blast.
No,
it doesn't
sound different textures.
That being said, I will try it because I do love Baja Blast. They are, let's see. Yeah. And they're doing it in a freeze version too. So it's like, Baja Blast with vanilla cream. If that sounds interesting to you.
Yeah. Andrew was asking me about this in the office. He's like, did they have those in Miami? Cause it's the South. I'm like, Miami is not the South. It is not the South. The South stops at about Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And then when you get further south than that, it's a whole new state.
Let me get this right though, Andrew. Mm-hmm. So, Pizza Hut pizza causes acid reflux,
yes.
But Baja Blast with coffee creamer in it is fine.
Well, we're going to find out. We are going to find out. But no, I mean, soda never really, well, that's not true. Soda did, but
it's a contributor, but.
I could conquer that with the omeprazole, and Pizza Hut even cuts through that. It is a powerful substance.
Yeah, the triggers can be different. Like, so for some people, chocolate's a bigger trigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people, it's onions. Mine's onions. Onions are what get me.
Yeah, you got to avoid onions at all costs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to die, but...
Mine are Bosnians. Can't be around them.
This one I'm super excited about. Tell me if I'm crazy for wanting to do this.
You're crazy.
Every year I think about doing this. White Castle is bringing back the Love Kit for 2025, just in time for Valentine's Day season. White Castle's announced their popular love kits are now available for purchase until February 3rd or while supplies last.
And what's in the love kit?
Priced at $100, $99.
Ooh.
With shipping included, it has 3 2-packs of original sliders.
Frozen?
Yes. So it's 3 2-packs.
That's 6 burgers.
Six originals.
Of 6? Okay, that must mean there's 6 total, but 3 2-packs of original sliders, 4 2-packs equaling 8 cheese sliders, 3 2-packs of 6 jalapeno cheese sliders.
So just a bunch of frozen White Castles?
Yes. A 7-ounce pouch with pickles in it, 10 strawberry cheesecake desserts on a stick, and VIP coupons that can be redeemed at the store for 12 more original
sliders. That sucks. First of all, who wants a frozen White Castle?
These are
good
points.
I've gotten them from the store. They're fine.
Ugh.
They're fine.
Yeah, they are fine. I mean, like,
$100, though, does seem, now that I'm reading this out loud, does seem a little on the steep side.
Well, isn't it for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Well, how many people are you having over for Valentine's Day?
It said it's meant to serve 5.
That's a different kind of Valentine's Day party right there.
That sounds like a key party.
So if you are...
I mean, if you're the fifth guy...
You and your...
I think I know who's getting the pickle sack.
you and your half dozen Valentines.
The fifth
and,
wheel.
Eat a bunch of White Castles and just see where the night takes you, really. See what you feel like doing after that.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good weekend.
You too.
352 DJS, Bernie Miklas coming up at 4 p.m. Today is National Compliment Day and National Peanut Butter Day.
Dave, you're cooler than peanut butter.
I think peanut butter.
You're extra crunchy.
I think peanut butter is delicious. There, I'll knock them both out. I'll compliment the peanut butter.
God, do you guys see this story? The internet is debating a mother who unplugged her baby's NICU monitor because she wanted to get a nurse's attention to ask for a turkey sandwich.
Oh, no.
She's saying the nurse told me to do that as a way to signal them, and healthcare professionals are saying, yeah, no, that's a lie. No one would ever tell you to unplug a NICU monitor.
No.
Wanted a turkey sandwich.
Because it sets off the alarm.
Yes, and they come running.
Man, that, wow.
Oof.
That scares me that person's going to be raising a child.
Yeah, I just saw another story. This is not in my fun facts here. But last week I saw a story that down south, the DFS was in trouble because they were monitoring and keeping tabs on bad moms, bad pregnant moms. So moms who they'd have run-ins with before, who didn't take care of their kids well, who they knew or strongly suspected had drug problems or legal problems, and they were like checking up on them and even following them sometimes. And then they got in trouble for it, saying, you can't do that. You can't treat people unequally. You can't assume that someone is going to be a bad mother when they're still carrying their child. And I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. Because some might call that just being proactive.
Yeah.
You already work for DFS.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can do, right? I mean, if you have evidence that something is going on, you would have to report it, right? You can't just decide, I'm going to go watch and see what they're doing every day.
Three people were charged with selling $200,000 worth of fake Jason Kelce signed memorabilia. $200,000.
Dang.
That's a lot.
I think that's a lot of memorabilia. I mean, how much were they paying?
I don't know. I just hate them so much. Yeah. I just wanted to read his name.
Oh, you hate the Kelces?
Yes.
You see that
hurt me.
That Jason Kelce is getting a late night show.
Yeah.
It's happening during the Olympics, and then the TV people are saying it'll probably last past the Olympics.
Yeah, good, because he'll fail. Man, I'm mean.
I don't think he... No,
when it comes to the Kelces, I'm mean.
First of all, I think it's important to note, that job is harder than you think it is. And vast, very, very talented performers have failed
like
doing
Magic
that.
Johnson.
Yeah, well, even that was a bad idea.